This is Andrew Schultz. I'm the sales manager for CHS Ag Services. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan, along with Sierra Doctor and Whitney Pittman. USDA says farmers intend to plant 92 million acres of corn this spring, about 1 million more than the February Ag Outlook Forum estimate and the average trade guess. Soybean acreage is slightly less than the average trade estimate, but equal to the Outlook Forum number at 87.5 million acres. All wheat acres are slightly above the average trade guess at 946 million acres. USDA estimates spring wheat acres at 10.8 million.
USDA says there were 7.4 billion bushels of corn in the U.S. as of March 1st. That's about 70 million bushels below the average trade guess. Soybean stocks are reported at 1.68 billion bushels, about 57 million bushels less than the average trade estimate. Wheat ending stocks were above the average trade guess at 946 million bushels.
Paradigm Futures market analyst Kent Beadle says that the quarterly stocks report is the market mover in today's USDA reports.
70 million bushels below the trade estimate in corn, and we were 57 million bushels below the trade estimate in beans, and that's just too many for the tight balance sheets that we have. That's why the markets are, you know, firmed after the report was released, and why the essentially the old crop beans are the leader and the old crop corn is second.
The quarterly stock numbers reflect short supplies, and the job of the market now is to coax more grain out of farmers' hands.
The old crop beans are the leader and the old crop corn is second. And, you know, we already have tight basis and inverted markets. And, you know, there's little doubt that the market is now going to be tighter on the old crop balance sheets than what the USDA most recently gave us here in March.
Midwest Market Solutions President Brian Hoops' corn acreage came in above average.
The corn number actually came in larger than expected, larger than the Outlook Conference, and well above last year. So we're looking at about 3.4 million acres more of corn intended to be planted this year. The soybean number is very similar to last year, only a change of about 50,000 acres. And it was below trade guesses. So we did see initial reaction of selling in the corn, buying in the soybean market. The soybean number is almost exactly what the USDA Outlook Forum had indicated, 87.5 million.
Hoops thinks the wheat acreage will be subject to change depending on how soon farmers get into the field.
Compared to a year ago, that's a 4.1 million acreage increase. That's a big number, but again, similar to what the USDA Outlook said. When you combine the wheat and the corn numbers with soybeans being virtually the same as last year, you're looking at, 7.4, almost 7.5 million more acres being seeded than a year ago. So I think that is going to be a tall challenge, especially if we have a later planted spring this year. I know in the Dakotas, Montana, Minnesota, very much a winter is still hanging on through the end of March and into early April.
Two large winter-like storms are expected to impact the northern plains over the coming week. The first is already underway, stretching from Colorado and eastern Wyoming to the Great Lakes. World Weather Incorporated says today's storm system will become better organized with 3 to 10 inches of snow from central South Dakota into northern Michigan. The second, more potent storm is expected to move across the heart of the Dakotas Tuesday and Wednesday with 8 to 14 inches of new snow possible before moving across Minnesota and into the northern Great Lakes region.
Home on the Prairie weather owner and meteorologist Mark Ewens says there will be a slight warm-up of temperatures while two separate weather systems work their way through the upper Midwest.
Over the course of the next several days, one storm system traveling across the central plains will bring significant snows and some thunderstorms to the mid-plains and parts of the north plains. This includes the eastern South Dakota across southern Minnesota into the western Great Lakes. That storm will move eastward with a weaker storm traveling across the border region between Canada and the United States later in the weekend. That will bring a brief warm-up to the region as southerly flows develop. And then early next week, a more intense storm system is forecast to develop and take aim at the northern plains, bringing another round of significant snows.
Ewan says snow totals aren't locked in for the upcoming snow systems.
At the present time, the computer models suggest that significant liquid totals of perhaps an inch or more may fall across portions of the Dakotas and the northern plains early next week, which, depending on air temperatures, could be 10 to 15 inches of snow. These are early forecasts and will likely change. But this system will have access to some very moist air coming off of the Gulf of Mexico. So it will be a fairly intense system.
USDA's National Ag Statistics Service says there were 8.9 million hogs and pigs on Minnesota's farms as of March 1st. That's up 1% from the previous quarter, 3% more than last year. Quarterly pig crop, 2.9 million head. That's down 11% from the previous quarter, 2% less than a year ago.
And USDA says the number of all hogs and pigs in South Dakota as of March 1st was 2.1 million head. That's 4% more than last week and slightly more than the previous quarter. The quarterly pig crop was 1.8 million head, 12% more than last year.
The desire to use E15 year-round goes beyond those growing corn for that purpose. Growth Energy hosted a fly-in to D.C. with retailers this week to continue asking for a waiver for E15 use in 2023. CEO Emily Score says there is a great impact when lawmakers can hear firsthand from those marketing the product.
We were very happy and pleased to host a fly-in this week with some of our E15 retail partners. These are the people, these are the businesses that actually sell this lower carbon fuel option to American consumers. It's important for them to have the opportunity directly to those decision makers in Washington to tell their side of the story, to share their frontline market intelligence, and make it clear to lawmakers why we need this emergency waiver as soon as possible and why it makes so much sense given the continued volatility that we're seeing in the fuel marketplace.
You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. The dicamba application cutoff date has been moved up to June 20th for South Dakota. South Dakota State University Extension Weed Science Coordinator Paul Johnson says the change of dates may have some farmers switching up their seed plans.
I think in some cases it may. You know, the problem was this first got released in January, and most of the seed decisions have already been made in November, December, and so consequently, there's probably not a lot of seed out there for farmers to do last-minute changes.
Johnson offers solutions to dicamba applications.
In South Dakota, the two major weeds in the eastern part of the state is water hemp, and then as we move west, kochia. And so they're going to have to look at some of the, depending on the beans they have down, they probably can look at Liberty if there's product available. And also things like Cobra for kochia and Flexstar or Ultra Blazer for water hemp.
While forecasts seem to be postponing spring weather and field work will eventually come. Navigating rural township roads with heavy equipment may require a little more patience with potential flooding issues as the snowpack melts. North Dakota Township Officers Association Executive Secretary Larry Severson says to keep in mind the importance of watching weight restrictions.
The roads are going to be fragile. It would help to keep the loads down. You may not get caught overloaded, but you're going to do damage to the road structures. A lot of our bridges out in the rural areas are posted with low limits, and people risk it crossing them, but they got to think that now with all the water that's going to be running through them, they may be washed out behind the abutments and more fragile than they were before. You wouldn't want a bridge to fall in when you're crossing it with a heavily loaded truck and find out that your liability insurance won't cover the replacement of that bridge. You might be stuck with an additional $500,000. It could be quite costly.
Severson says when rural roads are closed, there is good reason. Safety is the main concern.
We're going to have roads washed out, culverts washed out, We tried to get them barricaded, and people find the barricades are in their way, so they knock them down or they steal them. That's put lives at risk. They're not barricaded to inconvenience you. They're barricaded because we see a failure. It's either happened or it's about to happen. And we don't want anybody getting in there and losing their lives just trying to cut across on some road.
North Dakota Senator Terry Wanzek works on the Senate Appropriations Committee and says this week there was a heavy focus on extension and research funding.
Our committee has heard the testimony on the budget for the State Board of Agriculture Research and Extension. And one of the larger pieces of interest in that budget is Waldron Hall Research and Science Center. That's on NDSU. The current Waldron Hall was built many years ago, so it's time to update. And there was $97 million appropriated in that budget for Waldron Hall. There will be $87 million of state money and then $10 million, you know, of other funds available.
Wanzek expects the budget to pass.
There's no construction started yet. You know, they're waiting for us to appropriate the money, and it appears that there's strong support so far. It's passed through the House, and it's in the Senate side. And within our committee, there's five senators on government operations, and it looks like it's going to be a 5-0 vote in support of the SBARE budget, which would include Waldron Hall.
The North Dakota Corn Utilization Council Board has elected their executive officer team at the spring quarterly board meeting. Tyson Rosenau of Carrington will serve as chairman. Carson Klosterman of Winemere has been elected as vice chairman. And Justin Quant of Oaks will serve as the secretary and treasurer. Reporting agriculture's business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Let's catch up with Ag Week reporter Ann Bailey. Ann, what do you have for us on the cover of Ag Week?
It is about calving and the challenges that ranchers who are calving now with the cold and snow are facing. According to the last North Dakota Ag statistics, I believe North Dakota is about a third done calving, and that's exactly where Kevin Elliott from Elliott Livestock in Clifford was when we went there. He had about 50 of his 150 calves on the ground and actually has pushed back his calving date from January and February to March, and now is considering pushing it back even farther to early summer to avoid this kind of weather. He's hoping maybe May, June, and then the cattle will be out on grass in the pasture and he won't have to worry about the mud and cold and snow that he's been dealing with. But he has a great setup, several corrals and a building that he can move them through. So his calves looked healthy and content when we were there.
Well, I think mostly cold and dry is okay. It's when it starts getting wet, like we've been seeing here this spring, that's where the trouble comes, isn't it?
Correct. Last year, he said during those April snowstorms, those 2 weeks, he went through 400 large bales of straw in 2 weeks, trying to keep the cows and calves out of the mud. And then I also talked to Gerald Staka, our North Dakota veterinarian, about things that farmers and ranchers can do to help prepare and keep their livestock healthy during weather like this.
Well, Ann, sounds interesting. Looking forward to reading about it next week's Ag Week. And let's check market numbers before we leave you. Wheat in Minneapolis, 14 cents higher. Chicago's up a half. Kansas City, 4 higher. May corn is 10 higher. December corn down 0.75 cents. May soybeans are 29 cents higher. November soybeans, 14.75 cents higher. Canola's up $4.10 a metric ton. April live cattle, 65 cents higher. April feeder cattle, 55 cents higher. The June lean hogs are down 7 cents, while the July hogs, 35 cents higher. The Dow Jones Industrial Average currently 234 points higher at 33,092. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend. This is the Red River Farm Network.